You know, I was thinking about how we sometimes try to find loopholes in rules. Like when you are a kid and your parents say, no dessert before dinner. And you ask, what about a tiny piece of cake? Is that all? Is that still dessert? No, when you are on a diet, you convince yourself that the sprinkles on your donut don't really count as extra calories because they are so small. We all have that little lawyer inside us trying to define the boundaries just enough to benefit ourselves. In today's gospel, we meet a lawyer, a scholar of the law, who comes to Jesus with a very similar approach. He asks, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" A great question. But then, after Jesus tells him to love God and his neighbor, the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, asks the classic follow-up, "And who is my neighbor?" It's almost as if he's saying, "Okay, Jesus, I get the love your neighbor part, but can we get a precise definition here? Like, is it just the people on my street or my family? Do I have to love everyone? Because that sounds like a lot of work." And in response, Jesus does not give him a dictionary definition. He tells a story, the powerful, unforgettable parable of the Good Samaritan. A man is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, a notoriously dangerous road, and he falls victim to robbers. They strip him, beat him, and leave him half dead. Along comes a priest. Now you would expect a priest, a man of God, to stop and help, right? But he passes by on the opposite side. Then a Levite, another religious official, comes along. He also sees the man and passes by on the opposite side. Perhaps they were worried about ritual impurity, or maybe they were just in a hurry. Whatever the reason, they chose to ignore the suffering right in front of them. But then comes the Samaritan. Now, for the Jewish audience listening to Jesus, a Samaritan was an enemy, an outcast, someone they despised. Yet this Samaritan, seeing the injured man, is moved with compassion. He does not ask about his religion, his background, or if he deserves help. He simply sees a human being in need. He bandages his wounds, pours oil and wine on them, puts him on his own animal, takes him to an inn, and pays for his care, promising to cover any further expenses. Jesus then turns to the lawyer and asks, "Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the man who fell in with the robbers?" The lawyer, unable to even bring himself to say the Samaritan, replies, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus' final instruction is clear: go and do likewise. This parable shatters our carefully constructed definitions of neighbor. It tells us that our neighbor is not just someone who lives next door, or someone who looks like us, or someone who belongs to our group. Our neighbor is anyone in need. Anyone we encounter on the road of life who is suffering, regardless of their background, their beliefs, or whether we think they deserve our help. So, what does this mean for us, and how can we practically apply the lessons of the Good Samaritan in our life? First, see with the compassion and not judgment. The priest and the Levite saw the man, but they did not see him with compassion. They saw an inconvenience, a potential problem. The Samaritan saw a person. Let us ask God for eyes to see the suffering around us, not just the dramatic suffering, but the quiet struggles, the loneliness, the hidden hurts. Let us see with the heart of Christ. Second practical application is overcome our opposite sides. How often do we cross to the opposite side of the road? It might not be a physical road, but a metaphorical one. We might avoid eye contact with a homeless person, scroll past a news story about a distant tragedy, or ignore the quiet plea for help from a family member or friend. The parable challenges us to step out of our comfort zones, to bridge divides, and to actively engage with those in need, even when it's inconvenient or uncomfortable. Third practical application is be willing to get our hands dirty. The Samaritan did not just offer thoughts and prayers. He acted. He bandaged wounds, transported the man, and paid for his care. Loving our neighbor often requires tangible effort, sacrifice of time, resources, or even just our attention. It might mean volunteering, donating, or simply being present for someone. Lastly, love without limits or conditions. The lawyer wanted to know the minimum requirement for eternal life. Jesus shows us that love has no minimum. It's boundless, radical, and unconditional. It extends even to those we might consider our enemies or those we have been taught to dislike. This parable is a call to a universal love, reflecting God's own unconditional love for all humanity. As you reflect on this parable, let's pray for the grace to be good Samaritans in our own lives. Let us be a neighbor to whoever is in need. For in showing mercy to others, we truly inherit eternal life, and we truly become brothers and sisters to Christ, doing the will of our Heavenly Father. Amen.